Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at Westbrook Park. I'm glad you are here. This is a first attempt since stay-at-home orders were put in place to have an online service that is completely online. I appreciate you being with us and hope this helps to fulfill the need to socially distance while spiritually connecting. I appreciate the work of Mark Thews in gathering choir anthems, bell choir performances, as well as recording hymns with just two verses for this service and those that will follow. I want to warn you that the platform we're using has had some problems. It is called Zoom. If you had trouble getting on tonight, don't be surprised. I have trouble getting on sometimes too. But in the future, we are going to try to streamline the process. Right now, security risks keep us from doing that. But Zoom is working on that, and I expect that probably this week we'll be able to access this platform without a password. Stay tuned, and we'll be in touch. In the meanwhile, the phone number you have, the meeting number you have, and the password that you used to get onto this tonight will work every time you get on in the future. It also will work for our Tuesday morning 10 a.m. Bible study, and if you're not a part of that group, we would love to have you. We plan on having this service every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. I'm glad you've joined us tonight. Join us again. Many of you have joined us in the Sunday mornings in the parking lot at Westbrook Park. If you haven't joined us there, we'd like to ask you to consider that as well. We don't exit our vehicles or have any physical contact. We pull in, park a car apart from each other, and tune in our radios. We begin at 10:15. I believe it's safe. I believe you will find it to be a refreshing meeting, if for no other reason that you get to see familiar faces and wave to them. But we'd love to have you come. Thanks again for joining us tonight. In the future, there will be more people participating than there are this evening. But for tonight, you will just have me, the music director Mark Thews at the organ, and a Westbrook Park choir performance. They're going to perform in a sort of time travel sort of way. We're going to bring back a recording from the past. We thank you all. Finally, I was trained to be a pastor. Was not trained to do some of the technological things we have to do in the last month. I hope that you will be graceful, kind. I've already recorded this service once, and it didn't work out, so this is my second trip through, and I pray that it works so that we are able to use it this week. In any event, the most important piece of this evening will be Jesus. So I'd ask you right now just to set your thoughts aside, focus your attention upon Him who loves us. A reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed together were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we come to the time we would typically receive our offering, I'd love to call the ushers forward to receive the offering. I just can't do that. So, I just remind you that you can give to the Westbrook Park Church in a number of ways. First, you can mail your offering to the church. Just mail it to the church address, and place it in one of your giving envelopes, or wrap it in a piece of paper so it's not seen through the envelope, and mail it, and we will place it into the regular monthly offering. Secondly, you can give online. If you go to our website, westbrookparkumc.org, you'll find there a button on the homepage that will allow you to give online, and that giving will be recorded as any other offering would in your giving statement. We're grateful to those that are able to remain faithful in stewardship through this difficult time, and we're also grateful for those who have not been able to. We encourage you to continue your stewardship at the Westbrook Park Church. Let's pray together. Gracious God, consoling and guiding God, we bring our offerings and our lives to your altar this morning. We come feeling perhaps like we're in the midst of a storm. Lord, there's many things buffeting us from all directions. Help us to hear your voice in the midst of this, your call to serve, your encouragement to endure for the work of the kingdom. Lead us to the light and the hope of this season, so we can joyfully and faithfully serve you in this world. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Comes that time when we would share our prayer concerns and celebrations. In this format, we're not able to do that. I would remind you to pray for our country, for the world. Pray for the leaders, the medical people, those that are on the front lines. Lord, pray for we would ask you to pray to the Lord for Darlene and Roger Reese. Roger has entered into immunotherapy at this time, and he needs your prayers. And I just have you remember that sometimes we need to pray for the usual things, and sometimes we need to pray for things we don't know. As I share with you a pastoral prayer that was written by Professor Charles Killian of Asbury Theological Seminary. Lord, we pray today not only for the sick, but for the well, lest pride would rule our happy hearts. Lord, we pray not only for the poor, but also for the rich, who find it so hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. We pray not only for the troubled, but also for the favored ones, lest peace with the world be confused with the peace of God. We pray not only for the dying, but also for the living, since they face eternity as well. We pray not only for the burden, but also for the casual, lest indolence rot the soul. We pray not only for the president of our country, but also for the people of our country. The people, yes, because it is they who pay for misrule when it comes. We pray not only for missionaries on foreign shores, but also for the rest of us, who still don't know that in Christ there is no east or west, north or south, but one great human family and a house that grows smaller and smaller by the years. Lord, we pray not only for ministers of the gospel, but also for people of the gospel, since all who believe are called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray not only for fair weather, but for bad weather, since nature is impartial and often prodigal, and human estimates of good and bad do not count. We pray not only sinners to turn around and be saved, but also for the rest of us who think we have no sin and are in greater need of penitence and healing. And finally, Lord, we pray not only for others, but also for ourselves, because salvation and righteousness begins at the household of God. Amen. Appreciate the choir doing time travel to come back to sing just for this service. I want to share with you tonight from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And I'll just read it to you and then we'll get into it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in your word. Help us now as we look at it. Feed our hearts during this difficult time. Feed our souls and our spirits and make us obedient children of the kingdom. Keep us mindful that we're yours. You have purchased us with a price, that there is a kingdom where you rule. And Lord, may that kingdom be a peace in our heart, that we might have Christ sit upon the throne of our lives and we would be obedient to him. Help us now together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you keep your cup full? You've heard the expression, is your cup half full or half empty? It's a matter of how you view things. In this current situation of pandemic and quarantine and stay-at-home orders and masks, it can be easy to believe we aren't half anything. We're running on empty. But for the Christian, we really aren't. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. The other day, Janice came home from work. I didn't know she was out there, and unbeknownst to me and that faithful dog, Bo, she got out of her car after putting it in the garage. She got out a lounge chair, folded it out, and laid down on her stomach face down and fell asleep in the sun that was very nice that day. Well, as I said, Bo and I didn't know she was there, and I got up to take the dog out the back door, and I saw her sound asleep. When Bo sees her, because she is the second best person in his life, he would get excited and run and jump on her and try to give her sloppy doggy kisses and all that stuff, which is disgusting. But anyway, she's out there laying down. Bo didn't know it. I saw her, and I opened the door expecting him to go down and wake her up in a cheerful way. Well, he didn't do that. The reason he didn't do that is because he didn't recognize her. He saw her, but he became afraid, and he didn't want to go out the door. It was his second best friend, and he didn't recognize her in that situation. Some of you are tired of masks and stay-at-home orders and parking lot worship, and you think it's beginning to feel like you're in this all alone, but you're not. Your very best friend can be right there with you. Context is everything. In this scripture this morning, the previous chapter, the big question was, is Jesus the Son of God or not? Is he the Messiah? He had given sight to a man born blind. He was after that grilled by the Pharisees and the authorities. And finally, at the end of the story, Jesus asks the man born blind what he thinks. Who am I? And it turns out the conclusion is that not only has this man's physical sight been given back, but his spiritual sight has been restored as well. He sees Jesus for who he really is. And yet the Pharisees, who could have known and should have known all along, had no idea. Jesus says it's precisely because they can't see. So in this context, Jesus introduces a parable about sheep and the shepherd. Is there a reason that John placed this here? Of course there is. John has a reason. In Scripture, the shepherd and the sheep often refer to the king and his people. It's referring to the fact that the true king would ultimately and intimately know his people well. He wouldn't sit on a throne removed from his people. He would be with them. Recently, you may have seen the Queen of England came out with a statement about the coronavirus, the effect it's having in England. The Queen doesn't come out all that too often, and when she does, and she has something to say, it's bigger than when E.F. Hutton speaks. People listen. There's something to be concerned about. She's not seen in everyday life. In fact, she's quite removed from the people of England and her palace, and in the sense of her status and nobility, she's just a step above. But a shepherd, on the other hand, well, a shepherd gets down into the dirt with the sheep. The shepherd sleeps with the sheep. The shepherd eats with the sheep. And probably, actually, when he's sleeping with the sheep, he's dreaming about the sheep. Sheep, sheep everywhere. That's the biblical picture of a king and his kingdom. And that's what John wants you to see. The real king will be with his people. This is the picture that Jesus chooses to talk about himself. He is the shepherd. He does come to his own. He does know them by name. They are his, intimately his. And this is Jesus' question in a nutshell. Do you see why I'm the king? This parable, it's designed to say these things. I'm doing what a king would do. I'm restoring what needs restored. My claim to be sent by God as Israel's true king is valid because I'm in the thick and thin of things with my people. They hear me. They're choosing to follow me in the thick of the up and down and in and outs of life. You know, one of the hardest parts of preaching in a parking lot, I've determined the last few weeks, one of the hardest parts of preaching in a parking lot is that you can't see people's faces. You may not realize this, but when you pull in there, I may see you and you go horizontally to where I'm at. But when you turn and you're directly in line with me, I can't see through your windshields. And in the sanctuary, when you're preaching, if you're connecting with folks, you can see it on people's faces. But in the parking lot, those headlights, they're poker faces. I can't see through the windshields. All I've got is a car model and a couple of headlights. For all I know, some of you are doing the Sunday crossword puzzle on Sunday morning while we're worshiping together. Jesus' parable was that way for his listeners. Listen to it again. At least listen to these first five verses. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who doesn't enter by the sheepfold, but by the door climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by their name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They'll not follow a stranger. They'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And look at this next verse. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. In other words, Jesus told this parable so they'd get it, and all they saw was headlights. I mean, Jesus is looking at them, and they are blind. They're like a deer in the headlights look. Don't know what you're talking about. All Jesus heard was crickets. There was no amens. There was nothing there. At least I get horn honks. Jesus tells this parable, and they just don't get it. So Jesus goes a little further, and he begins to talk in the next few verses about the shepherd being the gate or the door. You see, shepherds would sleep at the gate to the pen. They'd sleep there at night to prevent sheep from getting out and to prevent enemies, intruders, to get in. The shepherd is all about being sure that those sheep, they're taken care of. Not just that they're safe, but that they're provided for. You get that picture from a psalm like 121:8. It says, "The Lord will keep your goings out and your comings in from this time forward and evermore." Be sure you get the point. The shepherd is not sleeping with the sheep with one eye open to protect the sheep. The shepherd is not sleeping with the sheep and just going full-blow snore so he doesn't know what's going on. He isn't doing a crossword puzzle while listening for the sheep. He is full-on, game-ready, caring for the sheep. He is there to take care of them. And listen to what Jesus says to explain this to those who did not get the parable. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep would not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and I'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I want you to notice something. The others are thieves. They're robbers. But the shepherd, he's going to save you. He's going to show you the best pastures. He's going to give you the abundant life you could have never expected to have. When you find that shepherd, that king who looks out for you at his own expense, you have found the real deal. That's what God's shepherds look like. That's what God's king looks like. And that leads us to the bottom line for this message. You see, the way he provides reveals who he is. The way that Jesus provides for his sheep, the way that he provides for you and me, it reveals who he is. You know, in this current situation, if there's anything that's been starkly revealed to me, it is this. Material things will never fulfill the need of the human heart. Everybody I've talked to has said they want to be around people again. They want to be with their grandkids. They want to be with their children. They want to be with the people at church. They want to be with their friends. They want to be able to sit down and have a cup of coffee. They want to have relationship. And you can go out and talk to your car or your boat or your job all you want. It's never going to fulfill what relationship can do for you. Now pay attention to what Jesus said. This good shepherd, he will go in and out. He'll be at the door protecting you from getting into trouble, but also protecting from trouble getting into you. And he will help you to find pasture. He will bring you life, and he'll bring it abundantly. Please understand, the greatest need we have is not a relationship with each other. Though we long for that, though it's important, though we were made for that, we were made for one higher relationship, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And sin separated us. Sin got into the pen, but good news is Jesus came for us. He came to our rescue. He didn't sit on his throne in heaven. He came down into the muck and the mire of the sheep pen. He came down to shepherd us. He came down to give himself for us. He came down to show us the vital pasture that he has for us and the abundant life that he has for us. And I'm going to tell you something. The way that he provides reveals who he is. Jesus gave his life so that we could have that relationship back with him. I love what Paul writes in Philippians 2 when he says, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death upon a cross." You see, what Paul is saying is Jesus came for us. That's the mark of a shepherd. He paid the price for us on the cross. That's the mark of a shepherd. And he's leading us to an abundant life. And what I want you to see, that, you know, remember what Isaiah said. Remember what the angel said, that you will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Pay attention. Jesus wants to be with us. And in the midst of this pandemic, and in the midst of the loneliness of life, and in the midst of whatever circumstance you currently find yourself in, I want you to look around and realize that if no one else is there with you, Jesus is. And the reason we know that is because he's the good shepherd. He's provided for us in a way that reveals who he truly is. And when we accept what he gives, that gift of grace, of forgiveness, of salvation, full and free, we get to have that relation with him. And I hope you have the assurance of that, and I hope you know that tonight in your heart of hearts. God bless you. Gracious God, we ask you dismiss us now from this meeting, that we might go in the presence of your Spirit into the times of our lives. Protect us during this time. Keep us from the evil one. Lord, keep us from ourselves. Protect the door. Provide as you do. And we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.